This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey, Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Back on the boat, huh, kid? Well, at least this time you know exactly what you're in for, so I would expect that you won't be such a whiny pussy about the entire thing. And I said it before and I'll say it again, stop worrying about people thinking you're a boat act. Anybody who listens to you for more than 2 seconds knows you're A-list kid. And if they don't, fuck them. And Biscuit, all this shit you do to maintain yourself, from this teeth whitening, to having a man rub you down with these bouncy massages, the bullshit tanning, not to mention those fucking bear crawls, and yet you're constantly sick. You gotta stop crawling around your gym floor like you're some kind of panda, and you take a fucking vitamin kit. Either that, or just sack up, will ya? Later.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back. I am on the Norwegian getaway, and you are where, in L.A.?
Yeah, Los Angeles. It's a Wednesday. Give us some boat talk.
You know, there's not much to say, man. I pretty much have been holed up in the room when I'm not performing, doing a lot of writing, and I'm really just treating it like when I was a kid and I go to basketball camp. Every moment you woke up, there was either drills, then lunch, then more drills, then dinner, and that's all I'm doing, man. I'm writing until I fall asleep, and then I wake up, hit the gym, and write, and it's just, I'm telling you, it's Rocky in Rocky 3 when he went to Russia.
No, Stallion!
Yeah, it's like Siberia, man.
I gotta say, though, bro, last night I got back to the room, and one thing led to another. I popped on the TV. God damn, Goodfellas was on. Holy shit.
Yeah, it sucks you in, man. It's a suck-in.
It's a suck-in. I mean, if they had like a time capsule and we were going to leave a couple of flicks in for civilians millions of years from now to see what our society was like, what we found entertaining, I mean, what flicks would you throw in there?
Oh, right off the bat, Godfather 1, 2, Scarface, and Goodfellas. What else do you need?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to overload them with gangsters?
Yeah.
We should get Rocky in there, probably.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely Rocky. Any movie that has men in dark hair, you throw in the box.
Well, I tell you, man, I gotta say, I think Goodfellas might be more entertaining than The Godfather. I mean, Ray Liotta is just awesome, man.
Did you pick it up from the beginning?
Well, they got it on a loop here, so I caught like the tail. I caught like right at the part where Jimmy, you know, De Niro wants to kill Maury, the wig sales guy. Yeah. And then, you know, I love that, like, in the middle of laughing, because Pesci makes him laugh so hard. He's like, forget that thing. Remember that thing? Forget that thing. And then they kill him a half hour later when Pesci's putting the knife in him. And then he goes, cut him up. And then the sidekick goes, here? What the fuck here? What do you mean, fuck you here? Drive the fucking car. I got a better chance with him driving the car than you drive the fucking car. It's just gold, man.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, there's so many scenes. What's your favorite scene out of there?
God, there's so many, man. But I probably have to say Pesci at the table when the guy comes over and wants him to pay his $7,000 tab. And, you know.
Yeah, good scene.
Leota says, you're funny.
Yeah, funny.
What about
funny
you?
Funny scene's good. I like when they go over to the mother's house at like 2:30 in the morning and they have little dinner.
God, what a great scene, man. And he needs to borrow the knife.
For the hoof. For the hoof,
yeah.
Ma.
For the hoof. For the hoof.
Hoof. The hoof got caught in that grill. Oh. I gotta hack it off.
Ooh.
Come on, it's a sin. You gotta leave it there, you know. So.
Yeah, man. No, I settled in on Godfather 2 the other day. And that's one of those movies where you just you get a bottle of wine, and maybe midway through you stop it and you start cooking a little pasta. And Lana has never seen any of the classics, any of these movies that you should see.
So, oh, you're so lucky you get to show them to her.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling,
these two barbarinos talking about Italian movies.
Bella.
Are you f***ing still on or what?
What's forget about it?
Oh, forget about it.
Forget about it. Forget about it.
Yeah. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Sometimes it just means forget about it.
Peter, what are you doing?
Speaking Italian. Babbity boopy. Babbity boopity babbity babbity.
Peter, you can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Dance down the street with a cloud at your feet.
This stereotypical moment has been brought to you by White Cloud Electronic Cigarettes. Promo code PSFLING.
Walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore.
Well, I was on the road Friday night, and she's like, you know what, I'm going to pop in Godfather. Well, 15 minutes in, she's texting me going, I can't understand a word these people are saying. She goes, why is the older guy mumbling? What's wrong with his mouth? Like, she had no idea about Brando and the cotton swap, nothing.
Oh, man.
She goes, why is he mumbling? She kept rewinding it. She didn't understand a lot of it. It's one of these things where I think I got to walk her through it. I got to give her the cliff notes, you know?
Yeah, it's really meant to be watched with a man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something you don't go solo.
No, a woman doesn't sit there with popcorn and watch The Godfather. And if she does, it's because she's been walked through it by a man first. Absolutely. Yeah,
so definitely got to watch it with her. We're trying to find shows to watch together, and it's becoming a problem, man. I hear this Game of Thrones is phenomenal. Have you got into that?
No, I heard the same thing, but I haven't watched it. That's the one with the midget. Peter Dinklage, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Peter Dinklage. Peter.
Yeah, the midget. And we started watching that 15 minutes in. I turn the line. I go, do you understand anything that's going on? It's either that my brain is not processing information like it used to, or the movies and TV shows have an audio problem.
Well, are you? Oh, you literally couldn't hear.
I could hear, it sounds like a different language. I know they're speaking English, but it sounds like a different language, and I can't piece things together. I don't know if anybody else is having this problem when they go see movies or whatnot, but I a lot of times I'm like, what'd he say? And I think it's either a hearing problem or they don't have the audio synced right. Are you finding this at all?
I do find that, and the problem is... it's been going on for years with me, but what drives me nuts is then I'll turn to Jackie and go, what did he say? And she goes, oh, I didn't get it. And I go, well, then how come you're not asking me what he said? Like, and she goes, you don't have to catch every word. And I don't know. I'm thinking maybe when they write these movies, some of these lines that you and I are trying to catch, maybe the writer's like, you really kind of not meant to catch it. Maybe you catch it, maybe you don't. And I don't know, because it's not that clear, and if it's something I need to know to follow the movie, why wouldn't you make it clearer? And if it's just a throwaway, then now it's driving me nuts because I don't know what the goddamn guy said.
Yeah, well, I think every word they say, you need to hear to piece together the storyline. Like, I'll turn sometime to Lana, and she's texting during, like, the show. I go, hey, you got to get into this. This ain't no text. You can't text and watch. Right?
Yeah, that's... No, you can't. Or sometimes Jackie will doze in and then come back. And she's like, oh, I fell asleep. I missed a little. And I'm like, and you're just cool with that. You're just back. You're just back.
Doze off, I almost have to start the whole damn thing over again.
I know, right, man? And then you start watching and you're going, oh, wait, I did see that. Okay, no, keep going. I saw that too. Oh, I saw more than I thought. Dude, that's why I love Walking Dead. You come at any given moment, it's all always the same storyline. The fact is, there are zombies everywhere, and they're trying to eat you, man, and you're just trying to stay alive, man.
That's one I haven't got into yet either. I mean, I heard a lot of good things about that one, too, this Walking Dead. And maybe that's something up our speed where, you know, we could bounce in and out at any time and somebody's getting eaten.
Yeah, the bounce in and out. Do they make a lot of shows where you can do that these days, or do they seem to make more where you got to catch it from the beginning or you're just lost?
I think it's the type of show. I think reality shows, maybe you could bounce in and out. Like, I love these cooking shows, and, you know, it's one of these things where you can maybe have a little side conversation, pop back in on the cooking show, and figure out what just happened. But I'm talking like storyline, plot, stuff like Game of Thrones or, you know, Breaking Bad, those types of shows. You got to be invested. You got to shut things down and just watch. And I don't talk, like Lana wants to like sometimes talk to me during, like if she starts talking to me, my concentration now is off. It's like, I gotta pause it. We can't talk through this.
Right. Yeah. I have no mind. I don't mind the talking, but just pause.
Yeah. Pause it and what is it? Okay. And then move on.
That's it. You don't talk over it or else Jackie reaches into her candy bag, which I always end up getting into too, and she's rattling in there, and then I gotta pause. And then she'll just go, sorry. You know, and then she gets a candy out. And I'm like, but you don't even care that it's rattling. Or else I think we're watching some and we're both really into it. And she goes to the bathroom and I go, want me to pause it? And she's like, nah, it's all right. What the fuck? You're not even into this? I thought we were into this.
I know. It's bad.
You guys
man.
Don't have one that you both love that you're both like, yeah. No.
I'm sorry, Modern Family we watch together. That seems to be a constant. We watch that from beginning to end, all the way through, no problems. But I'm talking, I want to pick up on a series here and get my teeth into it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like I saw in my room here, when I was putting on Goodfellas, I just saw one scene from Breaking Bad, and I've never seen that. And, it's just an incredible scene, the one I saw. And I literally turned it off because I'm like, wow, that's a commitment. You got to take that from the beginning and commit to that.
Yeah, no, that's something that you should take on the boat with you, man. Knock this stuff out.
No, man, I'm in get myself to a better place mode, writing. I'm not about, I don't want to get off this boat and be able to say I know all the episodes of Breaking Bad.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't know you were career-oriented.
Come on, dude. We're on episode 110. Does that show dedication or what? Sorry about the last show. I talked too much.
Why? Well, I don't know. You seem to like review the shows and critique them like an analyst.
No, well, it depends. I mean, I do have to say, a few shows back, I tried an awful joke at the end. A little playoff Abbott Costello. I want to apologize to the wife. I know she's going to hear it sooner or later. It was just in poor taste.
Thank you for the flowers.
You're welcome, darling.
But two things. One, yeah, sometimes I do like to listen to the show because I like to hear what Lou does. I like to hear Jimmy's messages. And two, sometimes, man, now I'm learning too. You go back, we riff a lot. There's actually stuff there you can take to the stage. I'm sure you know that too.
Yeah, there's some things that come out of this. You're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll play with that up on stage. So, yeah, this is a good outlet for just, you know, stream of consciousness, talk and see whatever pops up. So, yeah, what do you think? I mean, I know we said we're going to go twice a week again, and we haven't really been, you know, living up to our promise here.
Well, but again, that's not, we tried to. This Saturday, you couldn't because you had just had awful internet where you were.
Oh, it was so bad, man. I couldn't even get an email up, let alone do a Skype. So yeah, I mean, we're going to get back up and running on this twice a week. I don't want to let the listeners down on that. It's just, I mean, the last month has just been awful.
Yeah, we've had bad connections. We had a tough time doing it. Are you moving around by any chance?
Man, it's like, what do you got to do? Stand still and do this show?
What do you got to do? You got this beautiful house. You turned this into a studio. How's it looking, by the way? Are you settled into your new studio?
No, I'm actually moving studios. Lana's going to take mine.
Really? Why are you switching?
Upstairs. You there?
Damn.
Hello? Pete? Hello?
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Yeah!
You there?
Who's there? I'm talking. Hello?
Who is this? Baxter? Is that you? Baxter, bark twice if you're in Milwaukee. Is this Wilt Chamberlain?
Yo.
Yeah, lost you, sorry.
Okay, so why are you guys switching studios?
Well, the office I'm in is right off Lana's painting studio, so she just wants her kind of office near where she paints. So I'm taking a room upstairs, and I'll be working from the second floor starting probably, I don't know, four or five months from now.
Now, why don't you just bring a guy in who knows all about this stuff and say, listen, I do a cast. I want to be able to do it and move around. We use Skype. This is how we do it. What are my options? What can we do?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what we're remodeling the room upstairs, and I'm going to have it so I could move around. There's no static. There's nothing. I'm gonna have that as my little domain.
And then maybe get an extra mic and maybe bring in one of your famous friends from time to time.
Famous friends. There's nobody. I got nobody.
You got Whitney Cummings. You got even your friend Brett Ernst is now on an ABC show. And you got the guy who DJ'd. It doesn't matter. We got each other. Listen, the other day I was thinking about what to do for this cast, and yeah. I was listening to how I talk too much, and I thought with more and more people coming on board all the time, I thought it might be a good time to just write down a few random questions. And when I say random, I mean random. I was just sitting here writing late at night. It was my birthday, and I was alone, and I treated myself.
Oh, by the way, yeah, happy birthday on Sunday, 4/20. What the hell did you do for your birthday?
Well, I did a show, and then I came back to my room with 8 cold Coronas, and I drank alone and had a little party by myself. I got all my photos.
Poor guy.
I got
my
photos.
Oh, my God, that sounds terrible.
Well, I got my photos of my daughter. Jackie sent me these great photos with her in front of a birthday sign, so I put those around me. And, and I listened to a little of the cast, and I got to thinking, let me write up some random questions so some of the newer listeners can get to know a little bit about Sebastian through these questions, because I talk too much. And I say random, I mean random. And, you know, if you want to pass on one, pass on one. If you got really not much to say, that's fine. And some of them are just basic trivia to see what you might know and not know about things in life.
All right.
All right, let's get started. So, clam chowder or Manhattan chowder?
I don't even know what Manhattan chowder is, so I go with clam.
You've never had Manhattan clam chowder?
No. I don't even know what that is.
I don't even understand. Like, if someone says to you chowder, you just assume it's clam? You don't even go Manhattan or clam?
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there right now. Out of 100 listeners right now, 99 don't know what the hell Manhattan is. Believe me.
Well, I don't have the Google number on me. I wish I did. Lou, punch it in. Can you say it right here, Lou?
716-638-0759.
That's all one for today. Please call in and let us know simply you know of or heard of Manhattan clam chowder or not. Bro, Manhattan, it's red, it's saucy. And clam is, I'm very surprised at you, man.
I never even heard of it.
Have you ever heard of avocado chowder?
Oh, yeah.
I just made that up.
I know.
Oh, all right.
Anything avocado, I've heard about it.
you'd like the Manhattan clam.
Is it a maybe I've had it and I just didn't realize it was Manhattan chowder.
Yeah, you probably have, man. I mean, it's, come on.
I'm looking it up right now. No, it doesn't look familiar. Lana, do you know what Manhattan chowder is?
Manhattan clam chowder.
Manhattan clam chowder. You know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it's the red one.
It's the red one. Yeah, I guess she knows too. I don't know. Bingo. I guess I'm on an island.
All right.
I'm on an island.
Well, you don't know the soup. She don't know the movie. But the two of you got it all covered, though. So that's what you do. Tonight, you have a little Manhattan clam chowder while you walk her through The Godfather 2.
Oh, that sounds good.
Have you ever heard of Karl Yastrzemski, and can you tell us who he was?
Karl Yastrzemski, I believe, played for the Boston Red Sox and was either first or third baseman.
Who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat?
Well, he was an outfielder, but yes, Karl Yastrzemski played for the Red Sox. Nah, that's, hey, look, position, that's more than I was even asking for.
Yeah, I should know that.
Okay, let's do, do you ever get drunk all by yourself?
Do I ever get drunk all by myself? Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Well, not in your life. Like, would you still once in a while, maybe, if for whatever reason?
Now, I haven't done that recently, but yes, I have just stayed in my single days, watched a movie, had some liquor, and at the end of the movie said, wow, I'm fucked up.
Yeah, I hear you.
Have you?
I did it Sunday.
Oh, God.
All right. What animals have you ever been on the back of? Here we go. Camel?
Yes.
Oh, right. That was your Egypt trip.
Yeah, I was in Egypt. I did the camel. Got raped on that. They soaked us for $500 for a camel ride.
God, I
basically,
can't see
it was
you.
An extor- yeah, it was an extortion.
I can't see you on a camel. I can't see it, man.
Oh, yeah. I was there, man. I got photos.
Horse?
Yes.
Elephant?
Have you been on a camel?
Have I been on a camel? Yeah, at the zoo in a circle. Yeah.
Have you ridden a horse fast?
No, just a slight gallop, but then the, you know, lesbian horse leader up front always makes you get your horse back in line.
Why? Are horse leaders normally lesbians?
They always got the short hair. They're very manly. They work out on the farm. And, yeah, they're in charge of the horses. I mean, what do I got? Fill in the blanks for you? You're a big boy. You're a big boy.
Oh, God.
No, but I've never galloped. Have you, like, galloped? Like, really, like,
no, getting, like... No, galloped. No, no way. No way.
Have you ever ridden a horse without a saddle?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, man. I'm trying to think. I don't even think I've been on a horse.
Come on, man. Not only should you have been on a horse, but you should remember that, man. It's an insult to the horse.
I think I was on a horse. I had to be on a horse. I just can't pinpoint where the hell I was.
Do you think maybe you were on a horse with Lana at some point, or before that?
No. I'm thinking Puerto Vallarta on the beach with my family as a kid. I think I was on that. But in my adult life, I don't think I've ever gotten on a horse.
Oh, well, now I know what we're going to do with you and Lana when you come visit.
Oh, wow. You got horses readily available by the house?
Well, geez, we could just hijack one of the Amish up the block if we want to. But, yeah, they have horseback riding. Dolphin?
No. You?
Yeah, you never swam with him and, like, did the
what
thing
the
where
fuck?
You...
What are you?
What like, are you? You never swam with a dolphin in all your life?
No.
Oh,
listen,
what are you
listen,
talking about?
I, like I said before, I minimize risk, okay? These things, anything could go wrong. You get up on an elephant, the time, I always think this way, the time I get up on an elephant is the time the elephant's going to have a flashback, and I'm going to be stampeded upon. I'm going to be one of those videos where you see on YouTube with 8 million hits that Sebastian decides to ride an elephant for the first time and gets fucking maimed. Right?
Well, with an elephant, yeah, you know, that maybe they got a history of coming from a bad place and they go a little crazy. We've all seen those videos. But a dolphin? You got a better chance of your masseuse Ron going a little nuts and snapping your neck during a rub down.
How do you know? How do you know the mentality of a dolphin? If you get in the water and the dolphin looks at you and he goes, you know, again with these people in the water. Like maybe he's thinking, come on, already. How many people am I going to swim with? And he goes ballistic on your forehead.
I think it's never, ever happened. I think that's why dolphins are so beloved. They're just perfect. They're perfect, I guess.
You don't think a dolphin has ever attacked a human being? This is what I put into Google just right now. I go, has a dolphin, and it finished it, said, ever killed anyone?
Right, because the answer is going to be like, no, of course not.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. I gotta Google it up. Yep, dolphin attacks on human are about as common as shark attacks. Difference is that the dolphin attacks are very rarely serious enough to require hospitalization and never fatal. As a result, people know that sharks are prone to attacking humans, but largely ignorant of dolphin attacks on people. So they have attacked people, okay?
Yeah, right. But I mean, Jesus, it's a mosquito bite, bro.
A dolphin could rip your tongue out of your mouth. No problem.
What are you talking about, man? Come on. The dolphins wouldn't do that. You should really try doing it, man. They put you in a tank, and there's a few dolphins, and they swim around all you, and you touch them, and they're smooth. And then eventually you put one foot on each fin. And they have these things around the dolphin's neck, a little like rope thing, and you hold on. The dolphins just push you forward like water skiing on dolphins.
Yeah, no. Ball. See, this is the dolphin's got to be sitting there going, okay, get off my fins, get off the fins.
No, but they got buckets with people with buckets of sardines, and they just dump them in the water, and the dolphins just lap that shit up, and then you just cut them off and stop giving them the fish, and you wave them out. And they're like, all right. And then they come out and they swim with you for a while. And then you give them more fish. So it's like you practically starve these things, man. You got them. You got them under you. Yeah. How about an emu?
A what?
Emu. I-M-U. It's that big, big bird. It's a big bird that I don't even think it can fly. People ride them. I guess, sorry, you've never been on an
what?
Emu.
What? Have you been on
yeah.
one?
Yeah. No, but I've seen people ride them, man.
Ride a bird.
Ride a big bird. It's called an emu, man. I think they do it with ostrich, too. No, wait, those are too small. Yeah, they hop on emus.
Yeah, I got it pulled up right here. There's no way I would get on this thing. This is another thing that looks like it could chew your head off in about a minute and a half.
Yeah, that thing could be a little... These things could be a little feisty, but I don't think it could kill you.
I don't know. It has a real long beak, and it looks like it's got some teeth on it.
If you could sleep one night, all right? I know some people don't like when I do these. I like doing them. If you could sleep one night by yourself, you and Lana, obviously, I say that, in one of these two beds, which one are you going with? President's bed in the United States of America in the White House or the Pope's bed? And... change sheets or no change sheets?
I'm going with the Pope.
You want a sheet change or no sheet change?
I would just have to assume there's going to be clean sheets when I arrive, but I need a sheet change. Definitely
no.
a sheet change.
What? I would go Pope, no sheet change, just to get any of the holiness that fell off his body is laying there, dude. If there's
fell
one
off
time,
his body. You don't think you're gonna get holiness from the holy water they wash it in?
They don't wash the priest sheets in holy water, dude.
You don't think they bless?
You
don't think the
tap?
Tap. You don't think they bless the water?
You think they bless the water that washes his sheets?
I'm thinking there's a guy that goes that specifically is in charge of hand washing the Pope's sheets, and maybe air drying them and ironing them and then putting them back on. I don't think the Pope's sheets go in a industrial sized washer.
I definitely don't think they go in a giant washer, but, you know, there's got to be a lot of other rooms and some bishops that visit and stuff like that. And I don't know, man. I'm thinking maybe the Pope's sheets gets thrown in with all the guest sheets.
No way. I think the Pope's, anything that has to deal with the Pope, his robe, his hats, all that stuff is separate from any of the other people that live in the Vatican. Well, that's got to be a separate job. Come on. Although this Pope, he might throw his robe in with the maid.
He might do the laundry.
He might do the laundry, this guy.
I know, man. I hear you. I mean, Jesus, he's probably using the old sheets from the old Pope, had them cut up to rags so he could dry the feet of all the people he's cleaning. This guy.
Aquí a Santa Marta. Gli anziani, gli sposi che fanno il cinquantesimo, io gli faccio la domanda, chi sopportò a chi? È bello quello, tutti si guardano, mi guardano e dice, ma tutte e due.
You can catch the Pope next Wednesday at the Laffy Shack in Buffalo.
Now... When you were an altar boy, what was it like with your priest? Like, did he bless everything he touched before he touched it?
No, but we're talking a priest and we're talking the Pope. All right, it's two different things. I mean, the Pope's on a level where I'm thinking the Pope's sheets get maybe there's a sheet change every night on his bed. No? Do you think the Pope has embroidered sheets?
Oh, man, are they silk? Are they embroidered? You're asking. Can you Google this shit, man?
Oh, man. I wonder, like, if maybe his initials are, like, embroidered into the flat sheet.
You paint a picture of the Pope as more of a god. Like, do you think the Pope then gets manicures and pedicures?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I would think there's somebody polishing this guy's feet on a daily basis, no?
I don't know, man. But I'm sorry I'm taking you off course here. But back to the sheets. You're going up, and they go, here you are, sir. It was the Pope's wishes and grants that you spend one night in his quarters, in his bed, and share with him and share with God. We will send someone up shortly to change the sheets for you. You wouldn't go... Don't worry about it. I'll sleep in the Pope's sheets. I can't believe... I mean, that's so holy. That's like wrapping yourself in his gown.
Yeah, but I don't know what he's doing.
Come on, bro. That's an edit, Lou. What do you think he's doing in there?
He might be picking his nose and rolling the shit in the sheets. And it might be falling
Baywatch?
Out. And then I get it. He might be clipping his toenails in the bed. I don't know what this guy's doing.
What, you said he gets manicures and pedicures. Now you got him picking his toenails.
I don't know.
Construction worker.
Maybe he just had. You know. Sometimes you have to get at it on your own. And maybe he was digging digging in his foot one night, and now there's foot juice all over the bed. I don't know.
That way. Oh Jesus, foot juice. like, do you think then, like, maybe he just lifts up a right cheek and blasts one out like any other man?
This, believe me.
Really?
With the meals that this guy's getting, the amount of dairy that he's eating, he's got to be ripping ass in bed. No? Come on.
I don't know. I just feel like the Pope would probably make sure it's silent and then maybe, like, do the sign of the cross afterwards. I just don't see him, you know, going, oh, God, yeah.
Man, maybe he's got a problem. Maybe he's got a I don't know. Maybe he's got a problem. I don't know. I mean, you gotta think he's shitting. Farting in the bed. Come on.
I would imagine. I mean, he's got to. Scientifically, you'd be getting up and down every 2 seconds if you tried to do it anywhere else.
Bottom line, I need clean sheets.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Even if it's the Pope sheets, that ain't good enough.
Yeah. I got a picture of the Pope's bed.
Oh, you got a picture of it?
No, I need one.
Ooh, you think it's a double or a king?
I don't know. I just put in Pope's bedroom. Well, I don't know if this is his actual. There's a variety of different beds here. It looks the one I'm an honor to show. I thought it would be in a brilliant mashup of paintings that make. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some research on this.
He's probably got the bed from like the beginning of Willy Wonka when the four grandparents slept in that ratty old bed. That's what this Pope's doing. All right. This one is, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is in, anyway, I came up with this one because I read once that Crosby, Stills, and Nash from the band, one time big pot smokers smoked a joint in the Oval Office at the White House. Obviously the president wasn't in there or anyone else. I don't know if it's rock lore or true, but that would be like some sort of coup de grace for a pot smoker. But as a taking it into someone like you, if you and Lana could have a bottle of wine anywhere, and I came up with two just to make it easier for you. Which of these two, alone, perfect night, you and Lana, bottle of red wine, nobody around, the top of the Statue of Liberty looking out from the crown, nice little setup with some chairs, or the top of the Eiffel Tower?
Eiffel Tower.
You can't even keep it American, can you? You can't.
Well, I knew you were going to go. I knew you were going to go that way.
Well, USA, USA. What's wrong with the statue?
There's nothing wrong with the statue. I just think it'd be a lot more romantic on the Eiffel Tower. Come on, man.
I don't know, man.
France, Eiffel Tower, bottle of wine, nice French Bordeaux. Come on.
Have you been in the Eiffel Tower?
No, we're going. We're going on our honeymoon this summer to Paris. Three nights.
I went
definitely be there. Have you been there?
I went in the Eiffel Tower with Jackie, and we got to the first level, and unlike her, she had a bit of a panic attack from the height. So we came down. So we only went to the first level. It was cool. I'll tell you what, though. We smoked a joint in a little park right underneath the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, tell your friends.
Now, you buying pot in Paris, or are you bringing this with you?
Oh, come on now, man. That's more than I'd like to say.
Oh, come on, guy.
I brought it. What do you think I'm going to check? The French don't even give you directions, let alone weed. Jesus. All right. Here we go. I'm sorry. I can't even read my own right hand. I can't even read my own handwriting. If you had to name one A-list movie star that you're definitely more handsome than, who would you say?
Oh, wow. Definitely more handsome than A-list movie star.
Whew. In your opinion, you know? Like, even if everyone else doesn't think so.
In my opinion, old or young or my age now or...
Yeah, like you can't say somebody who's 70 or something, because obviously he's seen better days. Unless you're talking about when he was in his prime. You think you're better looking than De Niro when he was in his prime?
No. Well, give me some A-list movie stars. Are we talking like DiCaprio?
Well, no, because I'll do it with you, because obviously we're not as good looking as Leo, baby. Here's one I comfortably say, I'll go to my grave, I think I'm more attractive than Jude Law, that balding little European.
Jude
sassy.
Law. Okay, let's see. Jude Law.
Oh, women love him, bro. Right now, every woman's driving that car going, oh, Pete, oh,
this
you're
guy's
adorable.
Stunning. Fucking stunning, man.
We're going to have to change this to, is there anyone acting in anything that we think we're better looking at?
Okay, how about this one? I'll give you one.
A-list. Got to be A-list. Movie star.
Ben Affleck.
I'd say sometimes I think, you know, he's just a lucky guy who's kind of okay looking. And then there are other times where I'm like, man, oh man, he should be on bottles of cologne.
It's some, yeah, you're right. There's sometimes he looks really good, and there's sometimes he, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I that's a tough one. I mean, he, wouldn't you say, how about Matt Damon?
Well, you know, that's a good one right there. Jackie happens to think he's extremely handsome, but I don't know, man. I'm in the right suit with the right tan going to a wedding or something. Hey. He could be my sidekick. How about you? How about you?
I think I buried Damon. How about...
Yeah. We can't do this too long. Jimmy from Boston's right now, he's putting chapstick on so he doesn't get a sore mouth when he goes on his 10-minute rant.
Oh, yeah. What about Johnny Depp?
Nah, he's a really, I mean, it's hard to tell underneath all that stuff, but he's a handsome dude, man.
How about Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, right? Whatever with him, man. He's just like the best looking guy in high school. And I always thought I was better looking than the best looking guy in high school, just not yet.
Women love this guy though, man.
I know. What do you think? You think you're better looking than the guy? Oh, wait, Gosling?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No way, bro. That guy, like, if you look up the word handsome, there's a picture of him. I thought we were talking about the other one that was married to Johansson for a while. What was his name? Ryan something.
Philippi?
No. He's got me beat, too. The one who was, shit. He's done a bunch of movies, man. He was in the one with, oh man, what is he in that people like? I think he was the Green Hornet or something. He did one of those that was bad. Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, okay. You know, I did whatever with him. He's a good looking guy, but comparable. But yeah, no, the Goss, dude. Jackie and I don't even, when like there's someone like good looking comes into a room like and knows he's good looking, we don't even say, oh, here comes a good looking guy. We go, ooh, here comes the Goss. Call him the Goss. He's not even Gosling. He's just the Goss.
Okay.
Why? You think you're better looking than the Goss?
No. The guy is he's stunning, too.
What about James about Franco?
James Franco. Yeah, I think I bury him.
Women think he's awfully sexy, man.
I don't know. Let's see. Maybe not. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Maybe he's got me beat. What about Christian Bale?
Dude, he might be better looking than the Goss.
Yeah,
if that's
he's
even
pretty,
possible.
Yeah, he's pretty. I'm not even close to that guy. What about?
Oh, I got one. We can all rest easy, baby. Seth Rogen. See ya.
Oh. Now here's one. And this might. What about the midget from Game of Thrones? I mean, listen. Women love this guy. Set aside that he's a little person. I mean, if the good-looking guy or no. Can a midget be, like, stunning?
That's a huge set aside you're asking of me there, partner.
I mean, but I'm just looking at his headshot right now. It looks like a good-looking guy, you know?
Yeah, no, his face. I mean, if you just saw his headshot, you know, he's got a decent look to him, man. Absolutely, he's a bit of a handsome guy. It's just got to bend awfully far down to notice that.
Oh man,
nothing on that one. Well, if you were in like Game of Thrones with him, right, and you're an actor, and then there's rumor that the show's not getting picked up. Do you think just you have every right to go up to him like you would any other actor and just say, oh, man, God, I hope we don't lose this, man.
You're there.
I really need to work. To say it to someone in his position. Like, you say something like that to him, he could go, well, unless they're remaking Wizard of Oz, how do you think I feel, asshole? You know, like.
I feel like this guy would be working for a long time. I think this guy's talent supersedes his height. I mean, I don't think this guy doesn't have to play a little person. No?
If he's doing an animated cartoon, then no. Otherwise.
What I'm saying is, they don't really need to, like, they normally cast little people as little people. This guy could actually play past his height. No?
No. How?
What do you mean, no how? Do you think that every part that he takes that has to be a small role?
No, I see what you're saying. Do you think his agent ever calls and says, listen, they're not looking for a little person, but they are looking for a guy, you know, with your kind of personality and stuff to play the best friend or the guy who's blah, blah, blah. And I think if you go in and give him a great read, I think the fact that you're a little person won't even matter. I think you can blow them. I think you can overcome the hanging banana.
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
I mean, let's put it to you this way. You got a pilot picked up, greenlit by a major network. And man, it's so exciting because they're really kind of giving you guys a lot of room to decide almost everything, you and the showrunner. You got someone in mind to play the best friend role. It's he comes in, he rips it, it's pretty much his. Then Peter Dinklage comes in and gives a read that just, I mean, has everybody, including you, crying, man. And you're like, wow, what a read. And then he leaves the room. Is that unbelievable read still enough for you to risk this project that you've been waiting your whole career to finally get out and do and change it all to say my best friend is now a little person? Or would you say I'm still going with the other guy who just did a pretty good read?
I don't know. If he came in and gave a hell of a read, I'd say we'd have to go with the Dinklage.
Well, then what happens when it gets canceled 3 months later? You're laying in your bed going, the fuck did I go to Midget for?
Oh, God.
Hey, guys. It's your handsome buddy, Peter Dinklage. Listen, I really have no problem with you guys calling me a midget. I'm a grown man, and every time I listen to you guys, I always say, these two gindaloons. So it's all good. But the problem I have is that my name is pronounced Dinklage. Dinklage. You're missing the L. L, like in linguine. Okay, talk to you later.
I'm just... That's the call that you're asking these directors and these producers to make when they cast him. That's how much better he has to be than every other actor.
Yeah, no, that guy's phenomenal.
My question is, do you think there's a bunch of little people out there that watch Game of Thrones and go look at their wife and go, what the fuck?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in this business, they're sitting there going, I could do that.
Right? Why does he seems to get every one. I mean, that Vern Troyer was tearing it up for a while.
Yeah, but he was more of a novelty. Troyer. This guy's got some chops.
Yeah, this guy's got range.
This guy's got range, man.
All right, hypothetically, let's say you had another sister who wasn't married and she was living out in L.A., and she started dating, and she came home and said, I'm marrying this guy. And she came walking in. Who would you prefer she's marrying? Bruno Mars or Michael Phelps?
Bruno Mars.
Really? Why would you want her to marry a guy that she could probably beat up?
I don't know. I just think it'd be fun at Christmas and get this guy up and dancing and singing in front of the tree. No? You imagine guys dating Bruno Mars and you're gonna sing Merry Christmas and this guy gets on the piano and starts singing out a beautiful rendition of his own Merry Christmas songs? Come on, man.
I can honestly say, look, I'm not overly excited about listening to a bunch of swimming stories over eggnog either. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know how excited I'd be if Bruno Mars got on the piano at Christmas. I'm not overly.
I'm trying to go see Bruno Mars in concert this summer over here in the Hollywood Bowl.
You are?
Yeah.
Really? You like him that much?
Yeah, come on.
He's got a lot of Michael Jackson in him, that whole multi-talented.
He's charismatic. He's got personality.
All right, come on. You take all that, you put it aside and ask yourself one question. Wouldn't it be nice to put like 6 or 7 gold medals around your neck at once, just hanging out, just you know, get a photo with a few medals around you? Maybe he's got 22, he's married to your sister. I'd be like, give me a fucking medal. Give me one, just for the house. I'm not going to sell it.
Nah.
No.
Doesn't interest me. I'd rather have Bruno Mars belting out Christmas tunes.
All right. Yeah, the man has spoken, and that's why we did this, folks. I wanted you to know the kind of guy I'm working with. I'm working with the kind of guy that would rather have Bruno Mars dancing around the piano. Fair enough, man. I got we don't have an avocado recipe, I'm imagining.
No, we do. We have a dessert.
Oh, a dessert. Lou, can we get the music? Are you ready, Sebastian, Chef Maniscalco, or is this not? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Lou, music. I got my pen out myself.
A lot of ingredients. Lana made this for Easter, and they're delicious. They're peanut butter cup s'mores bars. And wow. This yields about 20 small squares. What you're going to need is 1/2 cup of butter softened, 1/2 cup of packed brown sugar, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1 egg, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 1 1/4 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup graham cracker crumbs. 16.
Now, does that mean we buy? I need to know. I'm doing this as if a man is listening and making it by himself. We buy graham crackers and just crunch them up. That's simple.
Yeah.
Got it. Continue. So far, every ingredient is, even I know them, beautiful.
16 peanut butter cups, regular size.
I already got a problem.
What do you mean you got a problem? You don't like peanut butter? Reese's peanut butter cup?
I love Reese's peanut butter cups, and I just don't know why I'm going through all this trouble if I already got 16 Reese's peanut butter cups.
Because I'm going to tell you why. The combination of flavor and ingredient here, the end product, you not only get the joy of eating a peanut butter cup, but what's around it, oh, man.
Oh, wow. All right. You're enhancing the cup. This sounds
enhancing
incredible.
The cup. And the last ingredient is 1 1/2 cups of marshmallow fluff, which you can buy already in the container. It says marshmallow fluff.
Yes. In the white trash section of your local grocery store.
Absolutely. Next to Kool-Aid. It's hard to measure that fluff, though. It's pretty impossible to measure. So this doesn't have to be the exact amount. Just kind of eyeball it.
Do you pack it or you just kind of lay it?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you. It's going to be a layer process. But as long as you have enough to cover the peanut butter cups, you're good to go.
Okay.
So you preheat the oven to 350. Line an 8x8 baking dish with parchment paper, coat lightly with cooking spray. In a large bowl, like a stand mixer, like a mixer, whatever you have, beat butter and sugars until fluffy. Beat an egg and vanilla until combined. Scrape down the sides. With the mixer on low, stir in the flour, baking powder, salt, and graham cracker crumbs until mixed.
All right.
All right. Spread 2/3 of the dough on the bottom of the prepared baking sheet. Now, lightly press the peanut butter cups into the dough. Then, spread the marshmallow fluff on top.
Oh my God!
Press the remaining dough on a non-stick surface into the shape of an 8x8 square, and then place the square on top of the fluff. So basically you're getting, it's almost like two pieces of bread.
Yeah. You're getting a Reese's cup with fluff lasagna.
But yeah, it's a lasagna fluff job.
Oh my God, this sounds incredible, man.
You bake for 30 minutes or until the edges just begin to become brown. Allow to cool for at least 2 hours to give the bars a chance to set. Then remove the pan and cut into squares with a large, sharp knife. I'll be posting this on our fan page so everybody could enjoy peanut butter cup s'mores bars. And I gotta tell you, I'm a dessert guy. I don't like things too sweet. This is just enough sweetness combined with that graham cracker to give you a nice little dessert after a meal.
Just enough sweetness. I say, it seems to me while this is settling, before you cut it and you're letting it cool, would be a good time to take your insulin shot as well, I suppose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do what you have to do. Take your glucose medicine, whatever the hell you need.
Well, there you go, man. We appreciate the new recipe from Chef Maniscalco. That's not just a cook, but also a baker.
Yeah, we're also baking here. I have something I want to go over with you.
You got the award speech to go into anyway, right?
I'm still working on that. I really don't know what to do. Don't know what to do.
But what do you want to get it to? I don't want to cut you off.
No, I don't even know where to start the award speech. I mean, I know who to thank. I just don't know what to say before I get into the thank yous.
Well, let's just take it from the fundamentals first and foremost. Will you be bringing up a piece of paper?
No, I would like to avoid the paper.
I respect that. You're a comedian. They expect you just to be able to do it off the top of your head. Are you still toying with, do I need to be funny or can I not be funny? You know what? Even if you said you weren't going to be funny, it's just not our nature, man. You're going to get up there and right away, you probably have a comment about someone before you, the food, something, man. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to have to wing it that way. I just could get up there and go, you know, whatever. Whatever's going on at the time, just go, what was that introduction? I don't know. Whatever it might be. But I want to have a couple, maybe, jokes in the back of my pocket to whip out just in case. Although, I don't want it to look premeditated. That's why I think I'm gonna go with just winging it.
Yeah, I think you should wing it, especially because the best jokes you'll come up with to like do something in the moment, it'll be jokes you come up with from being there and seeing what's going on around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're gonna walk in there and go, "Duh, did you see Putin yesterday?" Dude, you know it would be really great, and I mean it would be a tribute to all of our listeners if you win the award and as soon as you grab it you look out and go, "The week I had today."
Oh shit.
Oh man, so that's Saturday, right?
at Saturday night, New York City, Hammerstein Ballroom. I'll be at Bananas.
Now, do you know who you're sitting with? Do you know who you're sitting? I'm sorry.
See, no, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I'm waiting on the, you know, I'm waiting on this stuff. Like, who's at my table? You know, I got nothing. I got, that's all I know. The red carpet starts at 5. That's all I know.
Yeah, see, now, I wonder, like, if they'll seat all the comedians together. Or if they seat you with the people, like, just your, you know, your representatives. That's the other thing. If you're not all together, like, you're going to get up and go over and say hi to the other comedians. And, you know, or you're going to lay low.
I don't know how this is going to work, man. This is going to be one of those things. Yeah. First award show. Don't know how they typically work. I'm going to go, Lana and I, and we'll see. We'll see who's there.
It's going to be so much goddamn fun, dude. Congratulations ahead of time. Whether you win or not, you already won, bro.
I already won. I'm already a winner, so we're just going to have a good time. I want to get into this thing. It's a viral video. I don't know if you saw it. It's
I'm on a boat, so no.
It was last week. It was before you even got on the boat. It was a Southwest Airlines flight attendant giving the instructions. And you know how they do it where it's like they try and do comedy?
Yes.
Okay. And I've seen it before. And to be honest with you, I don't find it really amusing when they do this. I don't understand why everything at the airport is so damn serious. Everything is so serious. At the checkpoint, when you get your ticket, everything is, you got to be on your best behavior. As soon as you get on the plane, what? It's now all of a sudden funny? I don't understand it. Just listen, we're going over what needs to happen if the plane's going down. We could lose the jokes, no?
You make a good point, but maybe the flip side, they're like, hey, we know it's been so serious up to now. Let's break the tension. And are you really listening anyway? If they weren't joking, you wouldn't even hear what they're saying. By joking, at least you're listening because you're annoyed.
Okay, you're listening, but let's say the plane's going down. You don't think I'm going to go, what did you say about the door? Because I missed it because you were trying to joke about it.
Yeah.
Right? So they videotaped this thing. This thing's get 10 million hits. And the girl's on Ellen DeGeneres now.
Oh, my God.
Has Ellen DeGeneres ever came to you and said, you know what, Pete, you've been doing comedy for 17 years, like to see it on the show. What do you got to do? You'd be better off being a flight attendant doing comedy in front of passengers than what you're doing now to get on Ellen. It's ridiculous.
Did you see her on Ellen? Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
What is she even asking her, man? Like, what made you say that?
I don't even know. I just saw it this morning on my news feed.
What did she say that was so unbelievably hilarious?
She did the whole thing where, hey, you know, if you're sitting next to a person that you don't, you know, like this, you know, like whatever. During the announcement, she just interjected this humorous rant that she does. And she's on Ellen. And to be honest with you, I don't really want to hear jokes while you're explaining what the hell I got to do if the plane's going to hit the ocean.
Seriously, if there's anything at all that we can do to make your flat more enjoyable, please tell us just as soon as we land in Salt Lake City. And if there's anything you can do to make our flat more enjoyable, we'll tell you immediately. We're not shy in Southwest. That's what we call very cheap entertainment. Nobody had to pay extra, but you certainly don't get a refund. That's safe and cheap in Southwest. Welcome aboard.
I was trained a certain way, and I just, at some point in time, just kind of put my own spin on it. And it's just so much more fun to make people laugh.
You on your way. You going to the top. You the next Lenny Bruce, man. Crazy.
Listen, man, I hate to say this because I know it's a workforce out there, but we don't really need them. My mom was saying it the other day. She's like, if it could save money, I don't need them.
What, the flight attendants?
Yeah.
Well, they're there for your safety. That's
they're
what
there,
that
yeah.
That's what they're saying.
They're so, there to tell me where the door is and lead me out, right?
Yeah, they're there to, for example, something happened on my plane on the way back from New Jersey. As soon as the plane took off, I don't know what was going on, but a woman was having either a seizure, a heart attack. I don't know what was going on, but they had a layer down in the middle of the aisle. And the flight attendants are running back and forth, running back and forth. And I look at one of the flight attendants, and she's like flipping through like a manual to find, I don't know what she was looking for, but she's flipping through a manual. At that point, if that was me on the floor and the flight attendant is looking up something in a manual, I'm like, I'm good. If you don't know it by now, don't try and look it up.
She's flipping through the index on the C's for chest pain. Oh, my God. See, that's what I'm saying, bro. So why not just have one person on every plane that's a doctor slash security? And they sit up front and they just police in the whole plane. If you need anything, you know, medically speaking or safety speaking. But otherwise, bring your own water on and that's it, man.
Okay. Well, this brings me to my second point. They came on the intercom and said, is there a doctor on board? Now, I'm going to give you a scenario. You're a doctor. You're on board. You got 3 hours of sleep, right? You were really looking forward to really getting some rest on the six-hour flight. Do you have an obligation as a doctor to say that you're a doctor to help the passenger? Or can you say, you know what, fuck, I don't want to work today.
Right, like you're just hitting your wife's leg going, shh.
Do you have to help? That's what I'm asking.
Yes. I think it's part of the actual oath to become a doctor. It's almost like a police officer has to get involved if he's off duty and he sees something going on.
He does?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would just have to think with lawsuits and everything like that, if you're a doctor and you help somebody out and that person, say, passes away under your care, now are you responsible for the person's death?
I mean, it depends. In that case, I'd be like, guy, I did what I could. They had a fucking manual out, and they had a flashlight on the manual. I figured I may as well take a stab at this, no pun intended.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but I think it's some sort of an oath. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. That's really interesting. And I'm pretty sure about the cop thing, but now you got me wondering. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but... Hey, man, if you were a doctor and that was happening and you thought to yourself, if I don't do anything, they're going to emergency land in Phoenix. And I ain't got that kind of time. So somebody get me my bag out of the above compartment. Right? I would do it just for myself.
I was thinking to myself, God forbid, if you go into some type of seizure or a heart attack or something on the airplane, because this woman is laid out. And I don't know what's going on with her, but she's laid out in the middle of the aisle of where people walk for at least 30 minutes. Now, my question to you is, when is it serious enough that they got to land the plane?
That's a great question, too, man. Life-threatening, right?
Well, I don't know. I was like, if you're a passenger and you're having a heart attack, could you go to the flight attendant, put the fucking manual down and land the plane? I'm dying.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm fucking dying laughing. Yeah.
Whose call is that? Is that the passenger's call or the pilot?
I think the passenger, if he says that, they're going to put it down, but it's got to be the pilot's call. Right?
Well, yeah. Ultimately, the pilot's in control of the plane. I don't think a passenger could just say land the plane. But I want to know the assessment. If the flight attendants are looking through a manual to find out what's going on, how are they? how are they? How do they gauge the seriousness of the attack or whatever's happening on the plane? I don't know. To me, if anything goes wrong with me, I'm literally knocking on the pilot's door and going. But I also heard if you are the problem, if you are why they have to land the plane, they charge you $10,000.
Oh my God.
That's what I heard. I don't know if this is another Google, but if I've heard, and I don't know if this is just, let's say if you're acting up and maybe you're crazy on the plane after landing because, you know, they're going to take you to the police station, that they charge you $10,000. But I heard 10G if you're the reason that they got to land the plane.
But if they're the reason we got to land the plane, we don't even get $10.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, what about, too, when you say, if they say, is there a doctor on board, right? If I raised my hand, do they even check credentials in the heat of the moment?
I don't know. I mean, if I would have raised my hand and said, yeah, I'm a surgeon, and would they go, where's your license? Or would they say, listen, she's having heart palpitations. And I go, all right, you got anything sharp?
Right, like you could be a mechanic and you're just like, oh man, I really don't want to miss my kid's little league game, so fuck it. Yeah, I'm a doctor. I don't know. I mean, literally, if I got someone leaning over and they rip open my shirt and he puts his hand on my chest, a part of me would probably be like, listen, put down a fucking manual and check this guy's wallet, all right? I don't know who he is who's ripping me apart like this. And if you're a doctor, do you always fly with your stethoscope?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, let's say if you're a doctor, is there something that you have to travel with at all times?
Right, because maybe there's a guy in 24D going, I am, but he's patting himself down. I don't got my tools. I don't got my stethoscope. I'm naked without it. No, you got it. It's your obligation.
I would have to guess that would be the worst way to go on an airplane, dying on an airplane. No?
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I never had a heart attack on a Greyhound. What if you ask if there's a doctor and three doctors or two doctors come forward? Do you have interviews? Like, if one's like, I graduated from Nicaragua, and the other one's like, Yale, I'd be like, give me the Yale guy.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I was so curious. You know, it's one of those things where you want to find out what's going on, but you don't want to be the asshole that asks. You know, like, I didn't want to go up to the flight attendants after it was all over and go, so, what happened in the back there, you know? I don't want to be that guy, but I wanted to know.
I know. I always try to hover next to the person that is that guy. So I can hear what they're asking. Now, there has got to be a part of you, though. That lady's laying on the ground, or man, whoever it is. It's just human nature. You're just sitting there going, just walk that shit off. Walk it off. I want to go home. So, along those lines, bro, when I was coming down here to Miami, living in lovely Buffalo, I can't even get a direct flight to damn Miami. I have a layover in Charlotte, and that's when I wanted to cancel you at 1 in the morning. My layover, we get on the plane at 10, and we're sitting there. We don't leave till 11:30. We sit on the runway for an hour and a half in Charlotte, and they admittedly say this right out of the gate. We had pilots flying in from Chicago that were then going to take this flight and fly it to Miami. The Chicago flight, the plane broke, so they couldn't fly. So we had to call in two pilots that live in the area. So the lady literally says, so he just said he's going to hop in the shower and come over. I'm going, hop in the shower? What the fuck? We're on the tarmac, man. I mean, and this guy's still in the shower. And I'm like, you don't have two or three guys just sitting around with coffee in a back room in case this happens? So,
yeah.
Right? And then she goes, well, we have one pilot, but we need the co-pilot. But more importantly than that, we're really waiting on the flight attendants, because the whole crew of flight attendants from that plane was coming too. So literally, if we had pilots, and this was an hour and a half flight, Wouldn't you want to just stand up and go, I'm taking a quick vote. Anybody cool with just saying fuck it with the flight attendants and going? I guarantee you everyone would say, listen, you know where the things are. If you're in the emergency row, open the fucking door for the rest of us. We're going to go. We're going to do this? Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right with this flight attendant thing. Just have the announcement on a video, which they normally do now. The flight attendants don't even give you the demonstration. Now it's all on video, right? So right. Have it on video. And if we're going down, we're going down, man. What are the flight attendants going to do?
I don't know. But, I mean, when they landed in the water on those wings in the Hudson River, though, apparently those flight attendants were heroes. So, I mean, but, you know, for $20 off my flights, I'll take that chance. I'll take that chance.
Yeah, listen, I'm sorry, but Sully Sullenberger, he's the hero. Here's the guy, he's got to land on water. After the plane lands on water and there nothing is wrong with the plane, I got to go, the pilot, amazing. I mean, right?
Yes, absolutely. But if you're in 28D and you're looking up ahead at 1D, taking their time to climb out on the wing, do you know what kind of composure you have to have as a flight attendant to keep me from running over those seats and just mowing everyone over? Because I'm thinking that plane is going to sink in 2 seconds and I'm trapped in here. Get your fucking 80-year-old Pocono living ass out on the wing before I trample you. But no, this lady has everybody cool and calm. And they just trusted her. And she's like, the plane's not going to sink. Take your time. Leave your bags behind. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's worth waiting an hour and a half. I'm torn, bro. I'm torn. Do we need flight attendants or not?
I'm sure there's some flight attendants listening. If you want to call in, please call in. Let us know if the plane is going down. What's the correct protocol? I'm just concerned if the plane is... You're waiting for people to get off the plane through the wing, right? And the plane is filling up with water.
Oh,
people
my God.
People can't even get off the plane when you pull into the gate and nothing is wrong, let alone now you add water to the plane. Do you think these people are going to get out? I'm jumping over everybody to get the hell out of the plane. I want to do that on a normal basis, don't you?
On a normal basis, yeah. I'm hoping now no one's grabbing their luggage. If one guy grabs his luggage, I swear to God, I'll lace into him.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I'd grab my luggage.
Here's another thing, and I don't know if we discussed.
Didn't slow anyone down. Right? If you knew you could grab your Gucci bag and not take a second off your time to get out on that wing or anyone else's, aren't you going to grab your bag?
Oh, I grab my bag anyway. It's a seamless transition. It's so seamless. I'm never the guy where I got to, like, pull my bag out and it gets caught. I'm never that guy. I literally get out of the row, reach up, and as I'm walking, I take the bag out in stride.
I love it, dude. I try to do that as much as I can. That is the master move. But my last flight, my handbag, the strap that goes over my shoulder, it got stuck on the seat. So when I walked forward, I jerked my whole self back, and then I panicked, and I couldn't get it out. And then the woman behind me had to put her bag down and undo while I did a lean over to give her slack and go, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
that
no.
guy.
That's bad, man. I never want to be that guy. And I got to say... Why are people, when they land and go to the gate and the seatbelt light goes off, I want to know why the whole plane gets up. Did we go over this?
We probably have, yeah.
I don't know. It's just it baffles me that the entire plane now stands up with nowhere to go. For what?
Just stretching it out. Stretching it. You should know, having your panic attacks in the window seat.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen. Now I make sure I got an aisle. There's no way I'm doing window ever again.
Do you take your seatbelt off on touchdown or when the beep goes off and you can take it off?
Sometimes I don't even wear the seatbelt.
Wow, you're a cowboy. That's crazy.
What do you mean it's crazy?
Dude, it takes one... big turbulent hit of air pocket and you're gonna bang your head on the ceiling. Billy Mays died like that. You know that guy? Billy Mays here, trying to sell you, you know, this infomercial guy.
Oh, he died like that?
Turbulence in a bathroom, banged his head, bam, got off the plane, died in a hotel a few hours later from the same sort of head injury.
I'm wearing a seatbelt from now on.
Yeah, put the belt on. What are you, a hot shot going to the mall at 18 years old in your Datsun 210?
It's a Plymouth Laser.
I never did the belt in high school. That was so uncool, man.
Oh, no. You know what I did? I did the belt, but I did it behind me. I buckled it in, and I did it behind me, or I would throw it underneath the armpit.
Just so it wouldn't beep on you?
Just so it wouldn't beep, and just so, like, to be honest with you, I don't like wearing a seatbelt now in the car because it wrinkles my shirt.
Oh, my God. Oh, that might be the greatest line I've ever heard you say in your entire life. I'm gonna
tell
say
me
that-
when you wear a button-up, and now you got to put the seatbelt over your button-up. Now you unclick it, you go to the event, you now have seatbelt mark all over your shirt. It wrinkles it.
It does. No, you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, you are alive. But I love it, man. If I live longer than you, I'm going to say the man was so cool, he risked death instead of a wrinkle. Oh, man. Well, it's been a good hang, bro. You got anything else?
Good hang. You're on the boat. I'm in New Jersey at Bananas this weekend. Also, Austin, Texas next weekend. I just got to throw that out there. I'm going to be in Austin over up at Cap City. I'm going to the award show on Saturday. I'll have a full report. When are we casting again? Let's get this on the books before you sail away.
Let me plug it up, too. I'll be at Side Splitters 2 weeks from now out in Tampa. Looking forward to that. I booked Hilarities After All, which is fantastic. So I'll be in Cleveland at Hilarities in September. I can't wait to play there. So just go to PeteCorelli.com, and you can see where I'm coming. So I can only cast on Saturday, man, because that's when I have reception. But you're going to be doing your thing.
Saturday, yeah.
It's the award show.
It's going to be tough.
We're going to have to pick this up. We got to go one more time just once a week, and then as soon as I get off the boat, we're going to kick it back up to two.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's just have to wait to next Wednesday to do it.
So then let me officially say, man, good luck. Have a great time at the award show. And, you know, man, make sure you take a lot of pictures and, you know, talk to a lot of people. Have a great time.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your cruising, and we will talk to you guys next week.
All right. Good hanging, man.
Take care.
The show has ended.
The combination of flavor and ingredient here, the end product, you not only get the joy of eating a peanut butter cup, but what's around it? Oh, man.
Oh, wow. All right. You're enhancing the cup. This sounds
enhancing
incredible.
Enhancing the cup. And the last ingredient is 1.5 cups of marshmallow fluff, which you can buy already in the container. It says marshmallow fluff.
Yes. You can find that in the white trash section of your local grocery store.
Absolutely. Next to Kool-Aid.
I now present to you a White Cloud convenient moment. We've all heard the hit song through the years, Staying Alive, but do we really even know what the hell the Bee Gees were singing? Here are the lyrics to Staying Alive. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Music loud and women warm, I've been kicked around since I was born, and now it's all right, it's okay, and you may look the other way. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive. Ha, 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 staying alive, staying alive. Ah, ha, 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 ditto. Well, now I get low and I get high, and if I can't get either, I really try. Got the wings of heaven on my shoes. I'm a dancing man and I just can't lose. You know, it's all right. It's okay. We'll live to see another day. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Okay, then we got chorus, then we got a little life going nowhere, somebody help me, yeah. Somebody help me, yeah. Life going nowhere, somebody help me, yeah. And then we got the first verse again, but that's basically it. So, if you were like me and spent the past 20 years going, staying alive, now you know the lyrics. And you can thank White Cloud. Go to WCCIGS. If you're getting off cigarettes, get yourself a White Cloud e-cigarette and make quitting convenient. A White Cloud convenient moment. Peyton out.